Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Can't say that enough times on this day. Christ is risen, and we get to live in that victory. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning is the gospel reading from John chapter 20. The gospel Easter appearance of Jesus to Mary Magdalene. And I share with you again the verse where Jesus said to Mary, "Mary." And turning, she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. You get up in the morning. You turn on the TV to find out what the weather is going to be like today. But instead of seeing the weatherman, you see a commercial. It's a commercial for some multivitamins. Multivitamins which promise you that if you take one of them a day, it is going to restore all of your health. You move into the kitchen, open the cupboard door, go to grab a box of cereal, and as you pull that box of cereal off the shelf, you see on the side a big display of all the nutritious facts about that cereal and how, because of the fiber that is in that cereal, that if you just eat it every day, you're going to have complete gastric health. You scurry to get out of the house because you have a schedule. And as you get to the end of your street, there's a stop sign there. And because of your hurry, that stop sign seems less of a command than it is a suggestion. And so you sort of roll through that corner because nobody else is there. Pulling out of the neighborhood, as you start driving down the busier street, you start seeing signs of businesses. And your mind starts wondering about what this business is or that one. Or maybe I need to give that one a call because I need my furnace repaired. As you drive along, you see a billboard or two. Billboards trying to get you to think that what is important to the advertiser is important to you. Maybe you even chuckle a little bit about a message that you see on one of those billboards. You see a sticker on the back of a car, a kind of car that you've been wanting to drive. And you see a sticker from the dealer where the person that's driving that car that you want to drive bought theirs. And you wonder to yourself, I wonder if that dealer would actually take care of me. Or would I run into somebody there that's just going to take advantage of me? Just then, you see the big LED numbers up in the sky. Those ones advertising gas prices. And you see, this station has gas for 5 cents a gallon less than anywhere else that you've seen. So even though you're already running late, you pull in there. And you fill your car up with gas. And as you do, you read the little sign above the pump that says that if you just buy a hot dog this morning, you're going to get 30 extra points from the gas station. 30 points isn't enough for me to buy a hot dog. And by the time you get to work or school in the morning, wherever it is that you are going, your brain has already processed hundreds, if not thousands, of messages. All competing, all rummaging around in there as you're trying to sort it all out and navigate your way through this world in which you're living. But out of all those thousands of voices that you're listening to, which one will you recognize? Mary's world, Mary Magdalene's world, on Easter morning, was full of hundreds, if not thousands, of voices. At the end of the Gospel of Mark, we find out that Mary Magdalene was the one from whom Jesus had driven 7 demons. And though those demons were gone, the echo of the torment of those voices that would have lived within her during that infestation time, those voices, the echo would still have been there. In a quiet moment, she probably could still hear those demon voices still telling her that she was worth nothing. Mary and the other women had been there on Friday when Jesus had died. They had heard the voices of mocking and jeering by those passing by the cross. They had heard the taunting of Jesus' enemies. No doubt they had heard the barking orders of the centurion who had been telling the rest of the soldiers to get their work done, to do it as fast as they could so that they could get this nasty deed done and kill these three men who were going to die on the cross. And they probably still could hear those words. And yes, they had heard the screams as those nails had pierced through those hands. They had heard the screams as those nails had pierced through the feet, pinning those three men to the cross. They had heard the words of Jesus, those seven statements from the cross. Things like, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Words like, "It is finished, and into your hands I commit my spirit." Words barely audible to the gasps for breath that Jesus, our Savior, was reaching for as he hung there dying on the cross. And then there would have been Mary's own voice, that very, very dark voice, the one full of despair. The one that would have been saying something like, "How am I going to be able to live now that this special one is dead?" There were the voices of the other women, the other Easter women, the ones who went with Mary to the tomb early on that Easter morning. After they had observed the required rest, the mandated law-driven rest of the Sabbath day that said they had to be at home by sundown on Friday, and they had to stay in their homes through sundown on Saturday, which meant that they couldn't get out of their homes again until early dawn on Sunday morning. So why was it very early at dawn on Sunday morning that these women were on the way to the tomb? Because they had all been talking to each other saying, "We need to go and get this work done." And so it's safe to say, as we hear the record in the Gospels, that the women were worrying about who was going to roll the stone away. It is safe to say that Mary's mind was certainly cluttered with a whole bunch of voices on that Easter morning as she was heading to the tomb. So this morning, I ask you, how cluttered is your mind this morning? Maybe it's nothing all that earth-shattering. Maybe it's something as simple as, how in the world are we going to get all the preparations ready for Easter dinner because we're here going to have breakfast and whatever else? And maybe it's nothing more earth-shattering than that. But you're still thinking about it. Sure hope that timer on my oven clicked on at the right time this morning. If you weren't thinking about that before, you are now, because I just suggested. Maybe your heart, maybe your mind is full of the voices of grief because something's been ripped away from you lately. Maybe your head is full of quandary. Quandary is you just can't make up your mind about what the right decision is for you in your life. Maybe your life is full of worries because of something a doctor just recently said to you, or because of what you saw the last time you took a look at your checkbook. Maybe your mind this morning is racked with waves of guilt that keep pouring over you as you just don't feel very good about who you are, or about all the things that you haven't been able to accomplish. Add to all of that the noise of a world that surrounds you full of people that just really do take great pleasure in hurting you. And in the midst of this sin-sick world, life can be really noisy, full of ugly noise, distracting noise, maddening noise. And maybe this morning it's so noisy that you can't even hear the message of the angels today. The angels that told the women that Jesus was alive and that they should go and tell his disciples of that amazing resurrection victory. Maybe you are just too stubborn, burned out, too dead as a sinner to even want to hear God's gift of life to you in Jesus. Maybe God's grace just doesn't seem all that exciting. Maybe you're here this morning just going through the function of what you're supposed to be doing on an Easter morning. And you've come here at 7:45 so you can get it done early and then get on your way. Maybe the Easter message just isn't that important to you anymore. Maybe it never was. Maybe you think that there are more important things for you to be hearing than what you hear when you come here. On Easter morning, Mary was doing all the right churchy things. She was busy. She was serving. She was doing. She was probably even bringing a very expensive offering. Her offering envelope was stuffed full on that Easter morning because it was full of very expensive ointments or perfumes to put inside of the linens to help finish that burial process of Jesus. So her time was there, her service was there, her money was there. Sounds like a stewardship sermon. Nobody laughed on that one. Trouble is, Mary's heart wasn't in the game. When she and the other women first got to the tomb that morning, the angels had said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." Those words right there should have just turned the switch. Just as he said. Yes, he had said he would rise on the third day. And here's the angel saying, he's risen on the third day. Yippee! The women had run and gone to tell the disciples. They'd even spoken the right Easter words to those disciples. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. They'd have had their exchange. But after Peter and John had run to the tomb and then wandered away, not really understanding that the Christ had to rise from the dead, there was Mary standing outside of the tomb weeping. All by herself. So distraught. So captivated by all the voices in her mind that she just couldn't hear the message. Yes, she had heard it. Christ is risen. She didn't believe it. So Mary has another angelic vision. She looks inside the tomb. She sees two angels there. They're there at the foot and the head of where Jesus had been laid. That in and of itself should have been enough, but it wasn't. So she turns away from the horror of what she thinks she's seen there in the tomb. The horror of thinking that someone has come and stolen the body of Jesus. How do we know that? Because when she turns away from that awful sight and sees this man there in the garden, Jesus, but she thinks it's the gardener, she says, just tell me, where did you put him so I can go and take him? Maybe she doesn't recognize Jesus because of the amazing transformation of glory that's taken place in his body now because of the resurrection. Maybe she doesn't understand that it's Jesus just because she is so overcome by her grief. Or maybe it's a combination of both of those things, but she just blurts out, "Tell me! Tell me where you put him." And that's when Jesus simply says, "Mary." That's all it took. Why didn't it take more words from Jesus? Why didn't he have to grab her by the shoulders and shake her and say, Mary, come on! But after all, it was Jesus. It was his voice. The same voice that had stilled the storms. The same voice that had cast those demons out of Mary herself. The same voice that had healed the sick and raised the dead. Now was the very same voice that could speak life into her dead heart. And she became the very first believer in the Easter message. Jesus had died and risen again, and now life would be preached in his name, beginning in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. It was going to get there, to the ends of the earth. But first things first, Mary. And that voice needed to speak faith right into Mary's heart so she could begin to carry that Easter message out to the world. And that's exactly what happened. Mary. In John chapter 5, Jesus, in speaking of the life-giving power of his voice, said, "Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come." It's what takes place today in the ministry of the church. "A time is coming and has now come when the dead, those spiritually dead, without faith, those dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Jesus spoke that voice to Mary, and her unbelief disappeared. Suddenly, all of those other voices that had seemed so loud on Easter morning were no longer audible. And all she could hear was Jesus, the Prince of Life, speaking to her, calling her personally by name, so that she could live in the relationship with this one who had died for her on the cross to take away all of her sins, and who had risen from the dead so that he could conquer the death shroud that wanted to not only wrap around him, but around her as well. There probably never was a time in all of Mary's life when she was so glad to hear somebody speak her name as she was when Jesus said to her that morning, "Mary." And that same voice calls out to us this morning and says to us, "Listen. Listen to me only." And he says to us, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will by no means ever die." That same voice of Jesus in John chapter 5 said, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice." All those who are in their graves will hear his voice, and they will come. Someday our bodies and our lives, so racked by the ravages of sin right now and the devastation of death, someday our bodies, hearing that life-giving voice of Jesus, will be energized by the resurrection pulse of God's Spirit that enters into our bodies and raises us up to be glorified once again, just as Jesus was. And there, In that moment, that will be the best voice that we ever hear as Jesus calls us by name and invites us into his glory. In Isaiah 43, the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, "So do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fires, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. In our baptisms, God calls each one of us by name and says, you're mine. And just as when Jesus said, Mary, and she became his own in that resurrection victory faith, so also now, when God has spoken to us in the resurrection power of baptism and has called each one of us by name, we belong to Him. Yes, it's still a noisy place. Even at 5:30 this morning, the birds were noisy. It's not even light yet. What are you doing? They were singing their hallelujahs, I guess. For now, this noisy world in which we live beats us up. But we have an opportunity on this Easter morning. We take the hope that the Lord has given us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all of our sorrows so that we can comfort others in their sorrows with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. When a family member, a friend, a neighbor is struggling, just urge them to be quiet and still. Urge them to hear Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life. The one word that they need from you is Jesus. Only Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who conquered death through his resurrection from the grave, guard and keep our hearts and our minds, and through faith until life everlasting. Amen.